Welcome.
Aquama.
To the podcast.
To the podcast, Aquama.
So bienvenue.
I knew, I thought bienvenue sounds poncy. Aquama sounds good.
Who are they?
Aquabage.
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 In my primary school, I must have been about year six, and it was a Christian school. It was Church of England. And I asked why we had eggs at Easter. I said, why do we have Easter eggs? And they said, because they didn't want to say, because the actual reason is obviously it's all about like pagan fertility stuff and all that, and it's actually not very Christian. But they didn't want to say that because it was a Christian school. So they said that the rock that was put in front of Jesus' tomb when he died was egg-shaped. And that ever since we've had Easter eggs, and that represents the stone being rolled away from Jesus' tomb.
Why didn't they just say it represents rebirth?
Well, yeah, that would have been much better. Jesus, that would have been much better.
When Jesus came really out.
Are you sure they didn't say something like that? But you just you just heard.
Mr. Kitley.
Mr. Kipling.
Yes.
Mr. Kitley, my RE teacher, who had the biggest mole on his
great at cakes. Did he always have cakes?
He always wore short shorts and he had the biggest mole I've ever seen on his shin.
Sure, it wasn't a birthmark.
Well, yeah, probably. It was something. It was big enough to be something. Always shorts. He was there every day.
Were you homeschooled?
This is my dad.
He was there every day. You're surprised that your teacher...
Did your dad homeschool you and come in and go, Josh, the next 5 hours, call me Mr. Kipling.
He created a character called Mr. Kitley where he just put shorts on and drew a birthmark on his leg. But no, I said, why do we have eggs at Easter? And he said, the rock that was rolled away from Jesus' tomb was shaped like a huge egg.
He never said that.
That would be really awkward.
Imagine
shape
just,
to
just,
roll away.
Yeah, I was going to say, imagine
because
rolling
once
it.
You get it on its side. I imagine the thing, it goes on its side and then it just rolls back up to where it was. It's like Jesus is getting ready to have his big moment of like, ta-da! Oh, for fuck's sake.
I mean, if he's going to tell you something like that, he may as well say,
right,
when
try
Jesus
again.
Was reborn,
ta-da! Oh,
for he hatched.
Fuck's sake. He could have said anything. I'm pretty gullible. My brother
Jesus
told me.
Hatched.
My brother told me as a kid that I'd never heard of a ferret. Right, I was about five, and my brother set up a spy organisation within the family, and everyone had a code name that was an animal. So my stepdad was the fox, and my brother was the eagle, and he told me that I could be the ferret. And I said, "What's a ferret?" And he thought, "Oh, I can play with this." So he told me that a ferret was a really rare animal that lived in Fiji. It had the body of a lion and the head of a snake and the wings of a bat and the tail of a scorpion. And I believed this for about 6 years. And then when I was about 10, I went with my brother and my dad to a village fete, and there was a sign that said ferret racing. And I was like, "Oh my god. We have to go and see the ferret racing." I took off. I ran there. And then we got there, and there were all these tubes, like really long little tubes on the ground, cylinders. And I was like, "What are the tubes for?" And then the guy who ran it went, "Well, that's for the ferrets to go through." And then I was livid.
If I ever can time travel, I'm going to go back to that ferret race and glue all those other parts on.
Just do a ferret so it's really small. Yeah. It's a really small lion.
The thing is, though, right? If it's got the head of a lion...
Body of a lion, head of a snake. Wings of a...
That is kind of like a chimera.
Now, it's supposed to be scary, but that's the most emasculating body of a head of a snake. And a little...
I'm assuming...
Hold on, and you
like
say...
To think,
and a scorpion
I like to think
thing.
It eats like a snake as well.
And a scorpion thing.
A scorpion tail.
So hold on, it's got this massive body. It's got a little snake head and a little scorpion.
I imagined it as a little tiny wing. A snake's head relative to the lion. So like a huge snake's head. Like I didn't imagine it as being like a tiny snake's head on a full-size lion's body.
A little tiny...
Could you, for me, draw a picture of it with Mr.
My brother drew.
But
visit the Mr. Kipling riding
a picture of a ferret in
like,
full.
Bearing in mind, people can't see this picture. Just
that's right,
what is that?
You just heard what I said, Matt.
Sorry.
Active listening. As the podcast recording.
Wait,
gone
Carl,
on, I've been learning about things like active listening.
Dummies just down here, mate.
Oh, so, well.
It's good awkward, isn't it? No, please, continue. Tell me.
That was what my
friend
told me.
Oh, dear Sorry, God. Carl, for people
hear
who can't
this,
see...
but I'm really angry with him. What?
For people who can't see, try and describe what Joss has just...
it looks like he's got some kind of anal beads coming out of his arse.
I thought it was like a paper chain. Why is he wearing shoes? And he's getting struck by lightning. What you've drawn there is an abomination.
Well, that's what I imagined every time anyone said ferret for the first 10 years of my life, which made Wind in the Willows very awkward reading.
Wow. His head looks a bit like a cartoon steak.
I've always wondered what the podcast for Art Attack would be like.
This week we're doing Heroes and Enemies, aren't we?
Yeah, I try to write down some. I've got Uncle Ed, Brain Scans, Ideas of Heroes Evolves as You Get Older, and People Hate Me.
Which
which golden nugget?
I want to know Brain Scans, because if you ever said Heroes and Enemies, that is not a term I'd associate.
Brain Scans.
Well, my hero is Brain Scans.
About 3 years ago, I had...
He might be like a superhero we don't know about.
We're trying to find the hero particle. No, and about 3 years ago... About 3 years ago, I had three brain scans in about the space of 18 months, all to the left side of my head.
And then you desired superpowers.
Yeah, like stopping at traffic lights. But...
why the left side of your head?
Because that's the same... Well, they did the whole... when you go into like the space donut thing, yeah. And you have your
is that what they call it? Carl, you're entering the space donut.
Well, that's what it looks like when you're having your brain scan. It's like they shove your head through this, like you
what
know.
What are they looking for?
My brain. They were. What? No, I said that.
Sorry, Mr. Schultz, we still can't see it.
I said that as if you were the idiot.
My brain.
No. When I look,
it's just all skull.
It's like a gobstopper.
It's like, you know, now and again you get a Malteser that's solid. Yeah. That's what it is. Just explain the tooth thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't explain it.
Carl's got very dense teeth. They're all packed in. It's like a slave ship.
Good really God.
If you listen carefully, you can hear him screaming.
Why do they call Carl the Amistad?
If you listen very carefully to the inside of Carl's mouth, you can just hear African American spirituals. And the sound of chains slowly dragging. This is a horrible image.
It's not as bad as you... In fact, draw that one. We should auction these pictures. Oh, dear God. That should never be made public. Why you done another snake's tongue for his nose?
Hold on, what have you made...
That's apparently the inside of your mouth.
But look, how is that my...
I don't know.
It's not my best.
You've given me Michael Jackson's nose.
Yeah, I don't know why I did that. I'm not proud of that. That's not my best.
Okay. Anyway.
What happened as a result of these brain scans?
Yeah. Well, no. The story is what led to the brain scans.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
No, what conclusions did you draw about life?
By the way, guys, I'm dying.
I have a brain.
They were like... random acts of heroism.
But, in your life.
Yeah.
And they couldn't explain them, so they...
Well, it was...
so unnatural to you that it caused an aneurysm.
Well, no, because you've got to get your... if you ever have a bank...
People are like, where's this kindness coming from?
Oh, dear.
I am generally interested in this. Sorry, Carl.
Yeah.
What heroism?
Well, one of them was completely unnecessary because it was at Angel.
I know you don't want this, ma'am.
No, but you know, Angel Tube's got the longest stair. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And some also the most spacious platform.
And it's named after a really nice person. But the as I was going down the thing, some guy nabs a woman's purse and was going down the escalator. So and then I jumped after him.
Jumped.
Yeah, I tackled him.
He missed.
I got on my train.
A body just came up the escalator slowly.
Well, I saw. I went.
And that's how he damaged his brain.
I hit my head on the side on the left. His face was completely gone. But in hindsight, like, where was he going to go?
Wait. Did you say his face was completely gone?
Well, like, he really mashed up his face, you know. Well, I mashed up his by jumping on him.
Pushed him down the
long steps. the thing
he was like a slinky, though. He never made it to the bottom.
No, the thing is, I tackled him, rolling. And then we just fell where we were. And then we were just kind of like a tobogganing, just facing forward, going down the longest ever for about... We were both just parallel. I had a bad... head thing.
The thing is, as well, with that guy, that was a real risk.
Beautifully told that story.
Real risk as well. He stole that, but not knowing when the next tube was.
Well,
so he could have cut down
the
there.
Is, where was he? He was going down. He was going down. And I, yeah. Where was he going to go that I needed to tackle him? But I think when I kept having the left hand side of my head knocked, and you've got, any head knock, you've got to at least get it checked out and make sure. So three times I went to King's College Hospital.
Yeah.
And three times, for insurance purposes, they put you in a wheelchair to go around the hospital, you know?
did he just do a lap of you? It's just for insurance, Mr. Schultz.
Well, what was annoying is because each time I went in, I looked perfectly fine, right? And I'm about 6 foot, and there's this 4'11" Malaysian woman in her 50s who had to push me around. I look completely fine, but the woman pushing my wheelchair was having a really hard time with it. But I was coming out of the Hermit's Castle, Hermit's Cave in Camberwell once 3 years ago, and I'd just gone out for a fag, and there's a one-way system just outside that leads onto the main road, and these kids were crossing over the street, and the cab came speeding down, and this one kid stood in the middle. I pushed him out of the way, and I banged my head
into the road.
I pushed him into the road, and I banged,
and
I
then made sure everyone thought you were saving him.
Well, the thing is, I followed this girl out to go and have a cigarette with her, and
because you wanted to know where she was to go.
Yeah.
And that's a few things as well. I didn't go out with a girl to have a cigarette. I like how it's, I followed her out so I could.
Yeah. I had to start it somewhere, so I started it there. Well, I was going to, so I banged my head, and I was about to stand up and go, yeah, so, you know, to her, that just happened, just like that kid. But the cabbie got out so hysterical, just go, oh my God! Right, I'm so sorry. And he just threw me into his cab, but as he threw me, he hit, my head hit the cab door harder than it had when I hit the curb. So he made, if anything, that's what I needed the scan for. But,
I had a brain scan.
Did you?
Yeah, when I was 7. It's not that funny a story. Basically, we were playing in my neighbour's garden, and it was a 7-foot wall, and it was in autumn, and my brother had left my favourite toy on the side, so I went to get it, and I slipped on some leaves, just fell 7 feet first, head first, just landing on my face, and fractured my skull. You can still feel it a bit, and I've got one eye higher than the other, yeah. You'll feel the normal dint, and then you'll feel another. It's horrid, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a weird head.
I couldn't open my eye for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
While you were telling that story, me and Jose, our producer, were just looking at these these drawings of.
Get that
and
one of the unexplained.
Just, if you didn't know what it was, there's like some weird kind of dragon creature, and then there's a guy with black people in his mouth.
that's not a weird dragon creature. That's a ferret, Carl.
That's a ferret.
One of my heroes at school, right, that I wanted to talk about was Mr. Davis.
Mr. Kipling.
This was 2 years before I was in Mr. Kipling's class. I had a guy called Mr. Davis, and he looked like Neil Morrissey, but more filled out. He was about 40 odd, and basically he was the guy who taught me the power of
love.
of humour. The power of funny.
The power of humour.
Because I was quite a serious child. I was like really kind of like studious and posh and
like a young Scrooge.
Yeah.
Like a young Jaws.
I
was very serious and funny.
All right. Yeah.
But then he was the first teacher I ever had who just like joked around in class. I remember in my first lesson, I was doodling in my margin. Just I can't remember what I was drawing, something like that. And then he came
I think
up.
We know what you were drawing.
Probably a lamb with the
what
eyes
you
of a
lamb
sparrow.
Was.
Claws.
Oh my God!
He came up behind me and he tapped me on the shoulder and he said, "Don't put mess in my book, or I'll put mess in you."
Before we continue, how's this story ending?
I laughed. I laughed out loud. And it was, and he was all. But every class, Mr. Davis was always a joker, and it was always about how to be funny and how to make
people. Sounds hilarious.
So there was a girl in our class called Siobhan, and he called her Cyberham because it's spelled
Siobhan,
yeah, it's spelled Cyberham. So and I found that very funny. And basically, he made me really want to be funnier. So I started, but I wasn't sure how yet because I was very young. I was about 8. So I started putting on affectations that I thought would make him laugh. Like I started pronouncing scissors as skizzers deliberately. So whenever we had a craft lesson, and I'd say, "I'm just going to go and get the skizzers out of the cupboard, Mr. Davis," and I really hoped that it would like make him laugh, and it never did. I remember there was one.
He was dead inside. How could that not make him
there
laugh?
There was one bit where it was coming up to Red Nose Day, and I was in the playground, and he was walking past. On the bank, which was raised, so he was up above me, and I saw him, and I went, "Mr. Davis, Mr. Davis," and waved, and he turned to look at me, and I had a red nose on. I basically goose stepped up and down the playground for a bit while squeezing the nose on every other.
What
step.
Is goose stepping?
Like the Nazi mark. I didn't do the salute, but I just goose stepped.
For some reason, that didn't twig in my brain. There,
it was that year for Red Nose Day. The noses made a squeaking noise if you squeeze them. So on every other step, I squeeze the nose. Goose stepped up and down the playground for about a minute or so, and then just stopped and looked at him. And he shook his head and walked off.
Was that?
No, but you know, he shook the head of the emu he was dressed as.
was that the event that led to you being homeschooled?
In the wood.
Go outside, Jazz. Count the cars. Math.
He was one of my heroes as a kid growing up. I haven't seen him for a long time now.
You should Facebook him.
Last year. I was in Salisbury and I was walking down the hill.
Salisbury Hill.
People who know Salisbury.
I was walking down Salisbury Hill, and I passed him, and I didn't realise it was him till the last minute. But we just had this little look, this little moment where we sort of exchanged like, "Oh, you're all grown up now," kind of thing. And then I just carried on down the hill.
Roll credits.
So that was Mr. Davis. What else did he do?
Who cares?
Oh, I remember he
You chipped a bit of his innocence away then.
I remember as well there was one lesson where because I really wanted him to like me. I really wanted
What did he teach again?
He was just the general teacher.
The power of humour.
There's one lesson where I'd got really enamoured of this whole Cyberhan affectation. So in class assembly, I called her Cyberhan, and I thought it would get the big laugh that it got every time Mr. Davis said it. And I said, "Now Cyberhan will do the next stage of the..."
Didn't realise.
Just this resounding silence, because everyone just thought I got her name wrong. But Mr. Davis was at the back, and he was smiling.
He was hiding behind a curtain. You could see his shoes poking out.
What you didn't realise is she had prosthetic hands. And it's him trying to normalise
cyber hand.
Moving swiftly on.
You got any enemies?
Who? I've got three enemies.
Did you wait? I've got as far as I'm aware, no enemies. Really? Although, I kind of want Greg Wallace to be my enemy.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, from MasterChef.
I hate him. I don't hate him, but he disgusts me.
I really like him.
I think he comes really across sweet. As a very nice person.
Oh, I can't watch him eat. It physically repulses me.
You know the other one from MasterChef, John Turode. He eats. You see, you know how most people eat by lowering their jaw.
No, please demonstrate.
John Turode eats by lifting the rest of his head. John Turode's jaw stays in exactly the same place when he tries to eat, but the rest of his head lifts up a few inches and then closes down. Next time you watch, they've actually taken him off MasterChef now, but if you watch an old archived episode of MasterChef, you'll notice that he eats by keeping his jaw still and then
interesting.
I've seen a picture of him wearing two watches.
The man's
mentally ill.
I don't think we need to say anything else on that subject. Who are your three enemies?
My first enemy is...
yourself.
J.P. Goddard was a big enemy, because I remember in school... No, uni.
The sci-fi one. Writer.
I was going to say... Damn you, J.P. Goddard. You stole my idea again.
Isaac Asimov's protégé.
He was a bloke at uni. And
he's not a bloke. He's a lecturer at uni or
anything. J.P. Goddard.
He was old. He was older. He was a mature student. And I had a crush on this girl. And I went to the LCR, which was the local club, with her once, wearing a Technicolor dream coat that I bought from a head shop in Swanage. Because I genuinely liked it. It's all patchwork. And then he was there trying to make moves on the woman. Neither of us won. But a few days later, he texted her and said, do you want to go out for dinner? Or will you be busy with that friend of yours who wore that jacket with no sense of irony? And ever since then, I've hated him.
Goddard!
I didn't know he was a sci-fi. Is he actually a sci-fi writer?
I have no idea.
Oh, right. So he was the first
one. I think Cole's... It sounds like H.P. Lovecraft.
Oh, yeah. But the second one was a guy, I can't say his name.
H.P. Source, that's my favourite sci-fi, right?
I lived with a guy, when I first moved to London, I lived with a guy who is now my greatest enemy. And the
Can we just address that? People can't see how much Cole's laughing at his own joke.
It's so, in my head I'm thinking, like, what do you get when you cross sci-fi writing with the carry-ons? H.P. Source.
Hello, Christmas crackers. I got one.
I used to be Lovecraft, didn't it? Like, you try, you know, like Hollybooks. Hollyoaks in the City, what was it? Undercover, Under Dark. What?
Yeah, that was it. Hollyoaks in the City.
Hollyoaks Under Dark.
It's a great program.
Hollybooks Under Dark. You remember that? You remember Hollybooks Under Dark?
The worst
just
thing
write your full address.
The worst thing is, when I gig with you next, I'm going to make you tell that joke.
Hollybooks Under Dark. All right.
Anyway,
this was my main enemy. And the last thing he said to me, he's gone now. He's gone into hiding. But the last thing he said...
Is this as a result of the campaign against him?
He's just vanished. No one knows where he is now. But the last thing he said to me was, you're not a man.
Do you think he might have just gone away or something?
I think he says he's living above the pub, but nobody knows what that means. I've had no contact with him, but I hear rumours.
Guess.
The last thing he said to me was, you're not a man and you have no idea what it means to be one.
Why is he your enemy? And what?
I lived with him and he was just very, very rude and difficult to live with. And then eventually it got to breaking point because he knocked on my door and I was making posters.
Making what?
I was making posters for my Edinburgh show last year and it was very stressful and I was quite cross. And he knocked on the door and I said, I don't have time at the moment. Come again later or something. And then he knocked again, and I just said, I don't have time.
Did you say, we are enemies now?
But then he went into the garden, and stood in the garden looking up into my window, going, Joss, for ages. And so I shut the blind, because I was like, well, surely that will make the point. And then he just came in and walked into my room, and I was like, what do you want? And he asked me if I'd seen the cat, and I lost it. I got really cross. And then the next day, I was still so cross, and he was cooking dinner, and I didn't want to cook in the same room as him, so I bought a sandwich, and then I went and ate it in a graveyard. I deliberately went to the saddest place in the area, and then I was sat there eating this cold...
That was sure
and
way,
that's
mate.
When you cold stumbled across your own grave, which brings you to your third enemy. Father Time.
But anyway, then I had to storm out. And since then, apparently, he's gone missing, and the cat has just been left in the house on its own. It's just getting fatter and fatter, apparently, is what I'm told. But he's my main enemy. He's my greatest.
It's like a modern Holmes and Moriarty.
Yeah. I genuinely...
Can
I
get a Diet Coke?
Can I have half a Coke?
Can I have the same as Carl, please?
We're just having a drinks order.
What's going on?
Diet Coke.
Someone on their commute. What's good between Holborn and Stratford? What's going on? What's... Have a Diet Coke, please. Oh, my God! What are they drawing?
So, hang on.
That was as funny as cancer.
No, just... That's the whole podcast.
And edit that sentence and put it after every other story in every upcoming episode. Just
well,
edit
that was as funny as cancer. Remember to keep listening, folks.
Well, that was as funny.
You could do it in different. You could slow it down though as well at times. Well, that was as.
Or different accents.
I don't think there's a button for that.
The last enemy there was.
there's
a guy called Pete Ralph. Is better now, but I once told he had a list at uni of girls that he wanted to get off with, and I accidentally told one of the girls who was on it about its existence, and also told a girl who wasn't on it about its existence, and then we were at the Pimps and Hoes LCR, where you have to dress up as a pimp or a hoe.
I get the concept.
Yeah, and then he...
Not just a convention.
He tried to chat up this girl who wasn't on the list that I told, and then she said, why are you trying to chat me up? I'm not on your list. And then he found out that I told her, and he came up, stormed across the dance floor, and then held me up against the wall by the scruff of my neck, and told me he was gonna beat me. But at the time, he was dressed as a rent boy, so he had this really tight T-shirt on that said rent boy and gold hot pants, and he was this stocky little guy, dressed like something out of Boogie Nights, holding me up against the wall, and I didn't know whether to take him seriously or not. I just ran away.
And all those girls on that list are dead now.
But it made for a good story.
You know, with a few friends, you know that thing where you get, you do a list of like five women you're allowed to sleep with if you're in a relationship.
Yeah.
Right, it's just the three guys, and we're all single, but we came up with this list anyway, and... You know that episode of yeah, it's ridiculous.
Like anyone else, and they'd be like, "What do you mean?"
But it was.
This wasn't agreed.
But you know that episode of Friends where Ross gets his laminated.
Yeah.
Well, we were such douchebags that we got our lists laminated, or we said we'd go off and said we would, and so went to uni library and got our lists laminated, and so I had my five, and my mate had his five.
Who were your five?
Who is my five? Yasmin Bleef.
What year is this then?
But this is way past it being worth her being on the list.
If you're listening, Yasmin, sorry.
but the first, right? But what
it's
we did was
tier
we did we had
somewhere right now.
We had ours like laminated like the size of a business card, thanks, and the right. Third guy. He laminated like an A4 sheet. So he was going
to
carry around an A4 laminated sheet of women if he ever bumped into them. Mine was Kate Bush a la Babushka.
My boss doesn't know that laminated is a word, so she says plastified. And I enjoy it, so I haven't corrected it. She always says, can you go and plastify this sign?
That is a cheap sci-fi film waiting to happen.
Plastified. About one piece of paper.
Carl looked generally distressed then when I looked up.
Do you know what it is I've needed a wee for half an hour, and I thought I'll stay needing the wee, because I read somewhere that you make your best decisions when you need a wee. So for some reason I thought that if I needed a wee for the whole podcast, I'd only say good things.
Do you want the wireless?
I'm going to go for a wee.
Take the wireless.
We won't be able to hear you.
Fair enough. Should I tell that story about weeing that I did at the festival?
Yeah, it'd be a nice background with Carl's sound effects.
So because this joke hasn't been
I was at a high voltage
before.
Festival a couple of years ago, and generally I have that thing where I can't wee in front of people. I can't do it. But there was a massive queue for the Portaloo cabins, so I thought I'll just go to one of the portable urinals, which is a little column. I don't know if you've been to a festival, listeners, but it's like a column and you stand round it and you wee.
Is that what the festival is? A column you stand round.
If you don't know if you've been to a festival, but it's a column you stand round and piss into. That's a festival. But I went to one of these and then I realised.
I think this one's been a bit passive aggressive today.
What are you talking?
Just seeing these two, that's great. Just keep your story going.
I went to one of the half length ones because you can get the full length ones where you're hidden, and then half length ones where you can clearly see whatever's opposite you. So I was doing a wee and I thought, oh, this will be all right. And then I looked up and there was a guy there with the most gratuitously oversized part.
Penis,
that's the word, isn't it? There we go. I've ever seen. And he was, the way he was weeing, and I don't know if this is, maybe this is normal practice and I'm odd, but the way he was weeing was that he had his thumbs around the girth of it, and then he was sort of squeezing up it like you would a tube of toothpaste or something, like squeezing out. And
did anything gooey come out?
Wee came out. But like hydraulics, such pressure. And I'll be honest, after that, I went straight to see Beirut, and I couldn't enjoy them quite as much because all I had was this image.
Tainted.
Yeah. Tainted. Spoiled Beirut for me, that.
How was that, Carl?
I got there, and I couldn't be asked to say anything. And the urinal was already going, doing the water thing. So it was like you couldn't hear my wee over it. I made one comment and I thought today seemed a bit more passive aggressive than normal. That's about it, really. And I put the taps on just to prove that I've washed my hands.
Good, because last time we couldn't hear it. Last time you did that.
Oh, I did wash my hands.
I'm sure.
I always actually. I said this for the last 10 years of my life. The last 10 years of my life, I've always washed my penis in the sink after a wee.
What?
Even in public toilets.
Yep.
You should get.
It's true.
Really?
Well, if there's people in the. That's why I always go in cubicles.
There's no sinks in there.
There's toilet paper
there.
You
just dip it in the toilet water. Must be clean.
Well, no, I
like a bidet. A really deep bidet.
Cups
well,
his
no,
hands.
It, but there's toilet paper
and then
there.
And just dips it in, like a bird feeding.
Like a bird feeding.
I swallowed a 20p once, and I had to, oh, this is a horrible story.
How is this related to this?
It's to do with cupping hands in toilets.
Cupping hands? Okay, sure, go
well,
for
no,
it.
I swallowed a 20p, and the doctor said I had to make sure, I had to check every time. To
there's
make
only
sure.
One known cure.
The doctor said I had to make sure when it came out, otherwise they wouldn't know if it's still up there. So every time I did, this is horrible.
What,
so
it was still up there?
Where did you swallow it?
still in there. But it meant that for about a week, because it takes a while, for about a week, every time I did a poo, I had to wear a glove and catch it and then sift through to see if it was there.
Why didn't you just poo into something and sift through it that way? Why? What was it you didn't catch it?
Hold on. Oh, no, hold on. I'm thinking you to make sure that you'd shat out the 5p, not to 20 retrieve 20 the 5p. Not to make sure that you had it. So you go, because the doctor's saying, now I'm going to need to see that coin. Imagine if your body was able to absorb like the minerals of a coin, and then you got the Wolverine.
That'd be cool.
That's I've still got a flight of fancy for another time.
But they all had the Queen's head on them.
That used to be my favourite kid show. It wasn't the Queen's head.
The Queen's nose.
Queen's nose, not the Queen's head.
My mum's friend plays the aunt in the Queen's nose. Neris Hughes. Mm. She made her a grandfather clock in the early 90s.
Jos, just before we move on from that,
yeah.
What sort of glove did you wear to catch it? Because I am picturing a baseball mitt.
If I had one available on the day, it would be like a dentist's latex glove. Mm. But if I didn't have one, then I'd just have to line my hand with tissue paper. And then just
available on the day.
Yeah. I think I bought a packet of latex surgical gloves specifically for the purpose.
If I knew, I was going to be catching some netting. I would take them everywhere.
Sometimes I'd forget to take them with me. Sometimes I'd be in a public toilet and I'd just have to get a few sheets of toilet roll and
just
line my hand with them.
Across the bowl.
panning for gold, yeah. Hi, bro. You've just become my hero, Jos.
Thanks. I've still got the 20p framed. It's on my mum's wall.
You washed it, didn't you?
Yeah. But my mum's got it on her wall. Just to remind
her. Some mums keep a baby's first teeth.
My mum's got the penny I passed.
Does she rub it for luck?
She made me write the words "I will not swallow money" 100 times on a piece of paper, and then she's got that framed with the 20p in front of it. So there's a 20p against a background that says "I will not swallow money. I will not swallow money. I will not swallow money. I will not swallow money." In a frame in the music room.
People are actually walking out of this pub. They came in for a nice meal.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Have you seen the photos? I've put them up of my mum. You know those photos of me in the countryside?
Yeah.
That she made into canvases.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the thing, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is that every. Every time if someone comes around the house, the first thing they see is these canvases of me up in the countryside looking sort of very smug, right? But then every time if there's guests that come round, there's that photo of me on the... And it looks like there's no funny story to that, cut that. Funny is cancer. That's our safe word for cut.
just make sure that's never your safe word anywhere else.
I thought of a good safe word. Boring.
You had a little thing there.
Same. Had the same image. Carl tied up saying the word boring.
And now to play the waiting game.
The worst thing is, if Carl went down that alley and got into some weird stuff, just for the sake of wrapping things up nicely, I'd like to think one day someone would take a poo on him and there'd be a 20p in it. Boring! Boring. And then we went round to Carl's and he had it framed on the wall. With boring written underneath it 100 times.
I was talking to a friend of mine last night about autoerotic asphyxiation, right?
Were you just propositioning?
we were watching a film and David Carradine came up.
Mm.
So we were talking about that, and we were saying that if you were gonna do that, I don't know why you would, but if you were going to save embarrassment to your family, what you should do is
ask them to spot.
Well, we said you should leave a diary entry nearby that makes it out to be a happy accident. So you say, dear diary, in a really good mood today. Not even bothering to wear my trousers, but I've got.
It's the only entry in the diary.
But anyway, I've got a real crick in the neck, and I've decided to resort to extreme measures to see if I can put a stop to it. So just write that every time you're going to do it.
But there are
hundreds of diary entries like that.
And never any other diary material.
Stacks of diaries.
You'd have to put in something else, like, at the end of that, go, oh, and I hope my penis stops itching.
And that way, it's just thinking about those you leave behind, because it's. I think it's.
That's what I'm doing. Imagine, when I do that.
Imagine that's how Jaws died, and they cremated him, and there's just this wad of money inside him afterwards. You broke your promise, Jaws.
Weirdest autopsy.
And like to read from his journal. We knew he
what,
had terrible
Mr. Davis
trouble with his
will
name.
Now be reading from Joss's diary.
But he pronounces his name Jews Nuri. The poor boy suffered from terrible neck pain.
And he never wore any trousers.
April the 10th.
Warm today. Don't think of
my trousers again. But if I didn't die in the, like, I'd done it loads of times, but I never died. So then I die of natural causes, but they still find all those diary entries.
He lived a full life.
You were gonna talk about you being people's enemies. People's enemy.
Well, like they said in
if
episode.
Anyone's gonna be someone's enemy, it's you.
Well, like they said in an episode of Scrubs, you can be. Sometimes you can be in an argument, and one of the people doesn't know they're in an argument.
Is that your life, generally?
Yeah, I reckon there's a lot of people.
With the world.
I reckon there's probably a lot of people that are having an ongoing argument with me, but I'm completely oblivious.
Just if you can think of anything just off the top of your head, why someone would think you're their enemy? In the same way, Jaws would have an enemy.
Well, thankfully, Daniel Cook from Delete the Banjax and I get on, or it seemed like we did last time. We met. But the first time I met him, I said, oh, I know you.
Sorry. Hey,
the first time I met him, I said, I know you. You're the guy who deleted the Banjax.
And then that's why you're enemies.
Yeah, like, if he didn't see the funny side of it, he might have hated me for it. Funniest cancer. Boring. Boring.
I met Paul McGann once, because his brother Mark McGann, I worked as an usher at the Salisbury Playhouse, and Mark McGann was in a production of a play about caravans, and Paul McGann came to see it, and I sold him a programme, and I said, oh, I love Withnell and I, by the way, and then he said, oh, you know who I am then, and then I said, yeah, you're Richard E. Grant, and he didn't find that funny in the slightest.
Sometimes your stories from real life are like the ramblings of
but
a child.
But do you think he's still consciously your enemy?
Yeah.
I remember that little shit. I've got a hero. Have I spoken about my Uncle Edward?
No, but if anyone can see what Carl
I'm
just
holding
did,
up a bit of paper
Carl
got nothing on
just
it.
Said, I've got a hero, picked up a piece of paper, and it was just blank. It's finally happened.
Let me tell you about Jesus.
I need to wee.
I need to wee.
Do you want to take the wireless mic?
No, it's been done.
Okay. Tell us about your Uncle Edward.
Well, on my mum's side, it's her and Jeff, and they're about 2 years within each other, and then within each other.
It's 2 years within
you know
each
I mean?
Other.
No, they're 2 years next to each other. Like, what do I mean?
2 years apart, age-wise.
Yeah.
Okay. 2 years next to each other. they've never moved.
And then, but then my Uncle Edward's about 13 years younger, or something like that, younger than my mum. And not having any siblings, and being the eldest grandson, there was no one really... like within the family to sort of look up to and go, oh, he's cool. Apart from Edward, who was, he's 14 years older than me. And he was 6 foot one, 6 foot two. Still is. there's not a tragic ending to this story, apart from the fact there's no punchline. But there's, what am I talking about?
Uncle
Edward. He was really tall. still is.
That's why he's looking. My hero.
Good look, you know, good looking guy. But also, he played guitar. He was in bands. Oh, he was in a band called Brian and the Beach Bums, which when you're seven is
funny.
Cool. And funny, yeah. And they had one of those music videos where the whole family sat down and watched one of his music videos that he'd made, and it was the four of them in front of like the fuzz screen. And I remember we all, this was the mid-90s, we all thought that was very cool. And but no, he used to come into, in Paignton, if he came down to my dad's church, he'd come in a leather jacket. And I thought that was the coolest thing. And also, everyone thought he was cool, so, and he was my uncle, therefore I was cool, and all that. And then he married my singing choir mistress.
He married your singing choir.
I don't know what's it called. What? Choir mistress. Singing choir. Teacher. It was called the singing choir. Was it? I don't know.
it'd be weird if it wasn't.
What does the non-singing choir do?
Just hum. They just hum.
That's definitely some sort of criminal front. Is this a legitimate business called the non-singing choir?
Uncle Ed's just a gangster.
My Uncle Ed's silent choir.
No, but he I don't know what he's. I don't know where he works now, but he did IT for a jam company.
Wow.
And
he does sound cool.
In his leather jacket.
I have no idea. I really didn't.
Your hero does IT for a jam company. And runs a silent choir.
It's not even his uncle.
Just some guy.
Call me Uncle Ed.
On the Jubilee line here, I was trying to think, do I have any heroes? And he was the first one.
And his keyboard's really sticky. Carl's having an epiphany at the moment. It's like he's just in The Usual Suspects of the first time. You know that look at the end?
Kaiser Soze moment. We realised that
it's just it all
Uncle Ed and
on the
Mr.
way here
Davis
on the Jubilee line, thinking about who's my hero in life and all that, and I was trying to pull one out of my arse, and I thought Uncle Ed,
but all he found was a 20p.
And I thought, I remember when I was really young, I used to hope that I grew up to be like him because he was tall and cool and all that.
Dad had a friend called Bill. This is, I genuinely remember thinking this. And he had spiky hair. And I just
genuinely remember thinking that your dad had
I think, yeah. But he didn't. He had spiky hair, Bill. And I just started spiking mine. And I remember thinking he was really cool because of it. And going, well, Bill's an adult with spiky hair, so I can have my hair spiky forever. It's a genuine thought.
How come you haven't held to that?
I'm receding really bad. It's a really big comb over.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, no. For those of you who don't know Matthew Highton, he looks like
Dennis the Menace.
If Lee Mack had Russell Brand's hair.
For people who don't know Carl, he looks like an amalgamation of every serial killer
ever seen. That's right, a mixed race.
I've got a sweet story about an uncle.
Someone said you look like you live off Jewish teeth, which is a really weird way of saying you look German.
What?
Were you Matt, addressing that to me or to you?
No, but someone said that to me.
He said that with real maliciousness.
Someone said that to me, saying like, you know, say like, oh yeah, you've got Aryan features. They chose to word it as you look like you live off Jewish teeth.
It's quite racist.
It's very racist.
So you said before his teeth were a slave ship.
I've been told I look just like Michael Gove, like a young Michael Gove. Mm.
Really?
And Nick Cave and the Flowerpot Men.
I've been told I look like Van Morrison.
You do a little bit. A young Van Morrison.
And King Arthur in Merlin.
Cross between. Have you ever seen Jasper Carrot when he was younger?
No.
No.
I get that.
My mum worked with
I don't
him,
get that. No one says that.
The reason I'm called Josiah
Ed Sheeran.
Because Jasper Carrot.
A young Jasper Carrot trying to look like Ed Sheeran.
My mum did some work for the Jasper Carrot, I can't remember what.
Via Van Morrison.
She liked him so much that she knew that she wanted a son whose name began with a J.
But she didn't like him enough to call you Jasper.
To call me Jasper. No, she just wanted a little homage. Called me Josiah. And that's really? That's for Jasper, really. My name is for Jasper. I have a that's funny, it's cancer. I have a sweet story about an uncle.
I wonder
that
what
I can
we're
going
to call this episode.
Because my stepdad, right? My stepdad isn't really in touch with his family anymore. He doesn't see them. Until recently, he found out.
He doesn't see him because he's too busy with his other family. You guys.
That's true.
Yeah.
Good for him. Not really. But no, I mean like his parents and that. He doesn't see his parents or anything. But then he found out recently that he had a long lost brother. He found this out last year or a couple of years ago or something. And basically this guy, my sort of step uncle kind of figure, had been looking after his mum, who's a different mum to my stepdad's mum. He's a brother from another mother. This won't be funny, but it's
brother
sweet.
Brother from
so
another
listen.
Mother.
So
I like this.
He looked after his mum all his life, and he lived on his own. He's never been married, and he's got loads of cats, and his house is full of pictures of his cats. And then every Friday he goes to the pub with the same two friends, and they talk about their favourite jazz records, and he collects train numbers. He goes and looks at the trains. So basically...
Does this have a happy ending?
Yeah, yeah. So it's sad. It's sort of sad at the moment. But then he found out about the existence of my stepdad and got in touch with him, and he came down to visit us all. I wasn't there, actually. I still haven't met him. But he came down to visit everyone in Salisbury, and he met my mum and my sister and everybody like that, and he was with them for the whole day. And then a few months later, they went to visit him up in Hereford, wherever he lives, and they got there, and his house was full of pictures of all of them that he'd taken on the day when he
like
came
Mr.
down.
Like Mr. Bean at the end of the film.
Yeah.
Or like Robin Williams in 1 hour photo.
It's a really sinister spin. But that's...
Imagine watching those two films back to back.
Doing a matinee, yeah.
I've heard that if you watch them at the same time, they sync up
perfectly.
What did
perfectly. You do with your... What did you do last night?
If you put on 1 hour photo and Bean the Ultimate Disaster Movie and then put on Dark Side of the Moon, they all... It's the ultimate trip.
Oh, what an ending. Mm. That's a good place, isn't it? We're getting told to stop.
Was that a wrap up? Okay. Please remember to comment, rate, and subscribe. And I hope you all have a beautiful day wherever you are.
I'll stop with the fucking pseudo spiritual sign offs.
All of my peace and my faith and my love. Thank you.
You're not a man of faith.
No.
Then what's that? So then you'll admit you're a fraud.
Yeah. Just cut it there. So it just goes dead.
No, let's be real. I hope that you can. Everyone listening. Evolves. Let's be real. I hope everyone
listening evolves.
Because, you know. Do remember to listen to this again.
Evolution chart of the ape into the man, and then there'll be a new version at the end, and in between, just a line that says "What not podcast."
Imagine someone at home just hear that.
No, it's your drawing. It's ape man ferret.
Thanks. See you around.
My Edinburgh poster, I'm definitely going to have just me smiling with some black men inside my That was the story, wasn't it?
Yeah.
just wait, if you cut that now. Because I was going to say, just... Because if anyone didn't have the context of that original story, you have just said, my Edinburgh poster is me with some black men in my mouth. Sounds so pornographic.
I didn't think of that.
Oh, what's it?
Thanks.
thanks for listening to the What Not podcast. We're on iTunes, SoundCloud and YouTube, so listen to us there. And please remember to comment, rate and subscribe. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a beautiful day wherever you are.